It's good to see everybody. I've been away. In the sugya here on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, we have a discussion about a principle called Gidulei Karka with regard to two different melachos. One is Meleches Ma'amer and the other is Meleches Dash. So we'll focus most of our attention today on Meleches Dash, on Disha. The Gemara establishes here on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, Tana Hadash Vamenapet Vamenafet Kula Melacha Achasen. And these are all forms of Meleches Dash. Rashi tells us that there's another kind of Menapet that applies to Tzemer Geffen. And the question always comes down to whether or not it's Gidulei Karka. Tosis here.
Why is that?
Why is that? Because in the Mishkan, Meleches Dash was done on Chitim, and that sets the definition and the parameters for Meleches Dash as Gidulei Karka, what we call Tzomeach. Now, the Gemara also establishes here that Ma'amer is Gidulei Karka. That's a statement of Abaye. So we have two Melechas that require Gidulei Karka. And one of the toldos of Meleches Dash is Mefarik. And therefore the Gemara says, in the name of Rav Papa, Haiman Deshada Piso Ledikla, V'Asar Tamri, Chayev Shtayim, Achas Mishum Tolesh, V'Achas Mishum Mefarik. Rashi says Mefarik is the tolda of Dash. The Tosas here, Dibra Masel Mefarik, has a long discussion in which Rabbeinu Tam contests against Rashi's premise that Mefarik is Chayev Mishum Dash. But before we get to this machlokas between Rashi and his Einikel and Rabbeinu Tam, let's talk a little bit about the Rambam. The Rambam is in Perek Ches, Halacha Zayin, Hadash Kigrogeres Chayav, V'ein Disha Ela B'Gdulei Karka. So the Rambam copies our Gemara that establishes that Dash is limited to Gidulei Karka. We'll soon see that that's really Machlokas Tanoim, but the Rambam is passing like the Chachamim on Daf Tzadi Hei that Disha is Bigdui Karka. And that's why in the case of Tzad Chilozon, a Chilozon is a fish, that's not considered Gidulei Karka, and therefore the Chachamim established you're only Chaya for Petzias, Chilozon for Meleches Netils Neshom, but you're not Chaya for Disha because Ein Disha Ela Bigdulei Karka. Rabbi Yehuda expands the definition of Disha to include even She'eno Gidulei Karka, but we pass in like the Chachamim, and that's what the Rambam establishes right up front. The Rambam goes on to accept Rashi's view that Mefarik is a told of Dash. We'll soon see that Rabbeinu Tam rejects that. And therefore, the Rambam goes on to say that Cholev is Chayev Mishum Mefarik. Cholev, that means milking a cow. So just like if you remove the Garinim, you know, the seeds from a growth, you know, something that grows in Karka. So Yechayev Mishum Mefarik. So too, if you remove the milk from the udders, Yechayev Mishum Mefarik. And here's where the Magid Mishnah raises the objection. How could the Rambam say, on the one hand, that Mefarik is Chayev Mishum Dash, V'ein Dishel B'Gdulei Karka, and yet the Rambam at the same time tells you that Cholev is Chayev Mishum Mefarik. Mefarik in turn is Chayev Mishum Dash. Cholev is on a behemah. A behemah is not Gidulei Karka, or is it Gidulei Karka? I mean, that's going to be the issue that we want to discuss today, but the Magid Mishnah has a proof based on our Tosus Mefarik that Cholev Behema is not Gidulei Karka. That's what forces Rabbeinu Tam to come up with a whole nother definition of Mefarik. if you assume that Mefarik is a told of Dash, and you assume that Cholev is Chayv Mishum Mefarik, and you assume that Behema is not Gedul in Karka, it makes no sense. Something has to give. You know, there's no way of maintaining A plus B plus C. You cannot maintain that Ein Dishel of Gedul in Karka, Mefarik is Chayv Mishum Dash, and Cholev is Chayv Mishum Mefarik, and at the same time tell me that Behema is not Gedul in Karka. So it must be that in some sense, Rashi and the Rambam are maintaining that Behema is Geduli Karka. That's going to be our discussion of today. Is it possible to say that Behema is Geduli Karka?
Can you say that since it's just a Tolada, or that won't work? Meaning it has to...
Yeah, so we'll get to that too. But let's go piece by piece. The big chiddush of the Igli Tal is going to be that maybe a Tolada is different than an Av. But before we get to the Igli Tal, let's point out that Tosus here, Dibra Maskel Mefarek, has three different sugis, which he's juggling. One sugis in Mesechta Erevin, Daf Chav Zayin, Amid Beis. The Gemara there in Mesechta Erevin is addressing the issue of taking the Kesef of Maisa Sheni, right? You did a pidyon on your Maisa Sheni, and you brought that money, those coins, to Yerushalayim. Now you have to be po to them and eat the products of the ground, what's called Gedulei Karka. And yet the Gemara assumes that you're allowed to take Kesef Maaseh Sheni and use it to purchase behemoths and shecht the behemoth and eat its meat. Apparently behemoths consider Gedulei Karka. That's the sugyan erevin. On the other hand, he has the sugyan bav mitzion daf pei tes. There, the Gemara is talking about achilas poel bekerem reyehu, a parsha in Ki Teitzei, that a poel is allowed to eat from that which he's working on. And the Gemara establishes, based on the pasuk daish, ma daish gedulei karkaf kol gedulei karkaf a poel ochel bo lemeute cholev. Which means that according to the sugyan erevin, we saw that behemoth is considered geduli karka, and therefore you can take money of maaseh sheni and purchase behemoth. But according to the sugyan bav mitzia, as far as achilas poel is concerned, we see that behemoth is not geduli karka. Therefore, the poel who's working as a milkman, you know, milking the cow of the baal bayis, he's not allowed to drink the milk that he's working on, because the pasuk daish that says daish is geduli karka, kol geduli karka lemeute cholev, which is not geduli karka, because behem is not geduli karka. Says Tosfos, if you take the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Tzadi Hei, the Gemara says that cholev is chayev mishum mefarik. Let's take a quick look at that Gemara Daf Ayin Hei. I meant to say Tzadi Hei. It should say Tzadi Hei. That's number 3, I think, on Yomar Makomos, maybe. Oh no, I didn't mention it because Tosus mentions it. I just told you to look up the Tosus. I didn't write down all the sugyas of Tosus. So if we take a look over here in the middle of Daf Tzadi Hei of an Aleph, the Gemara says, "Boy minei cholev mishumai mechayev," and the Gemara says in the Hemshech Hasugya that cholev is chayev mishum mefarek. If you find the word asa, that's the first word in the line, you'll see what I'm referring to. So Tosa says, why is it that from the perspective of Rashi's interpretation that Mefarik is a told of Dash, Cholev is considered a told of Dash, meaning it's Mefarik. So Rashi says Mefarik is Dash, meaning that milking a cow is considered Gedulei Karka. We saw the same in the Sugyan Erevin as far as Kesef Maaseh Sheni. But yet, on the other hand, in the case of Poel, the Gemara says explicitly that Behemah is not considered Gedulei Karka, and therefore Cholev is not able, he doesn't have the schus Poel to eat, or in this case to drink the milk.
Does
What's the meaning to say that it's gedulei karka?
So Rashi over here on Daf Tzadihei says that since the name is nizonis min hakarka, therefore that's the status of gedulei karka. So we have what I call an expanded definition of gedulei karka. It's not only something that grows from the ground, which is called tzomeach, it also includes chai, because the olam hachai is nizon from gedulei karka. But that's okay when you analyze the halacha of Maisu Shedi and the halacha of Cholim on Shabbos, Melech Shabbos, but it's not okay when we get to Achilas Poel. So Tosis presents the following thesis. He says that there are two definitions of gedulei karka. This concept of gedulei karka tolerates what he calls a minimalist definition and a maximalist definition. You can be marchiv or you can be makatzeh. He says the following: in the case of Maisa Sheni, the Gemara derives gedulei karka from what's called a klal prat uklal. Whenever you have a klal prat uklal, the klal expands the prat. And Tosus says that just like in the case of Maisa Shedi, you have this expansionary definition of gedulei karka, the same applies with regard to Shabbos. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to backtrack. Let's go over to Achilas Poel. In the case of Achilas Poel, we have a minimalist definition of gedulei karka, which is going to exclude Behema. And why is that? Because there's a miut called Daish. Right? Lo tasam shar bidisho. Ma disho gedulei karka af kol gedisho. So there's no klal pratu klal over there, and therefore we have to take a more limited and restricted definition of gedulei karka, which means that which grows from the karka, we called it olam hatzomeach. In the case of Maisa Shedi there, the Klal Prat Uklal teaches me that I don't have to limit myself to the Tzomeach. I can include a behema because, as Rashi says, it's Nizones Min HaKarka. That also gives it an expanded, you know, circle, an expanded status of Gedulei Karka. And now Tosis has to define Gedulei Karka as far as Melech HaShabbos is concerned. He's got these two paradigms. You know, he's got the paradigm in Masechet Eruvin of Maisa Shedi, which is the expanded definition that since an animal is Nizonis Min HaKarka, it's also considered Gedulei Karka. He has the limited definition of Gedulei Karka, which refers only to plants that grow from the ground. That's based on the Sugi Bavitzi of Achilas Poel. And now he has to determine where to put Shabbos. Should he classify Shabbos and equate Shabbos with the sugya of Maisa Shedi, or should he equate Shabbos with the sugya of Achilas Poel? So Tosfos says the following: the answer to that question has to lie in the Mishkan, because all Melech Shabbos is determined by Mishkan, and in Mishkan the Melech of Disha was performed on Gedulei Karka Mamish, not on the expanded definition of Gedulei Karka, but that which grows in the Karka. They took Chitim and they did the Disha to remove the Garinim, and that's what they did in order to prepare for the Lechem Mishnah, etc., etc. So Tosa says, in that case we have to take Achilas Poel as our paradigm for Shabbos. And therefore, we're stuck with the following question: how can the Gemara say that Cholev on Daf Tzadiyeh Cholev is Chay Mishum Mefarek? Says Rabbeinu Tam, Mefarek is not a told of Dash. Mefarek is a told of Memachek. In other words, apparently, in the process of milking a cow, he smooths the skin on the outside of the udders, and that's called Meleches Memachek. But Baruch Hashem, I'm not giving a shir on Meleches Memachek today, so I plead the fifth, as we say in America, and I tainus p'tur. I can't discuss Meleches Memachek, but I just want to show you to what extent Rabbeinu Tam took this so seriously, ad kidei kach, that he would reject Rashi's assumption that Mefarik is a told of Dash. It can't be a told of Dash, Because when we define dash, we go back to the Mishkan and we generate the strict, limited definition of gedulei karka, which applies only to the olam hatzomeach and not to the olam achai, and that which is the zonus min hakarka, if it doesn't grow from the karka, is not considered gedulei karka, and therefore cholev could not possibly be a toll of dash. And if the Gemara says that cholev is chayv mishum mafarik, it must be that mafarik represents a different malacha, not malachas disha, because a behemoth is not gedulei karka. So Rabbeinu Tam's conclusion is that in malachas Shabbos, behemoth is not gedulei karka, because we go back to the Mishkan, and in the same way that we saw in Achilas Poel, gedulei karka means literally that which grows from the karka, so too in Meleches Disha and Shabbos, Disha is only on that which grows from the karka. Forget about the Gemara of Cholev, says Rabbeinu Tam. The Gemara of Cholev is not talking, is not addressing Meleches Dash. But what do we do for Rashi? Comes along the Igle Tal in Meleches Borer, and he suggests that according to Rashi, the paradigm for Melechah Shabbos of Gedulei Karka is going to be Maaser Sheni, is going to be the sugya in Masechta Erevin. Why is that so? Says the Gital, after all, in the case of Erevin, in the case of Maaser Sheni, we have a klal prat to klal, so the klal expands the prat. But in the case of Shabbos, we're limited and straitjacketed by the Melechah as it was done in the Mishkan, and it was performed on Gedulei Karka Mamish. So what gives us the green light, the allowance to expand that definition of Gedulei Karka like we did in the case of Maaser Sheni because of the Klal Pratu Klal? And the answer of the Igle Tal, which is so fundamental in Hilchos Shabbos, is that the Gemara derives from the Pasuk V'yasa Achas Mehenu L'Ravos Toldos. And therefore the concept of toldos allows me to apply an expanded definition of gedulei karka. That is a unique halacha in Meleches Shabbos that does not apply to Shari Suri Torah. In Shari Suri, Shari Dini Torah, we're going to have to apply, unless we have a klal and a ribu, we're going to have to apply the strict, limited definition of gedulei karka, which would mean that behemoth is not gedulei karka, it's olam achai, not olam atzomeach. That's my language, not his, but in the case of Shabbos, we can apply an expanded definition, and even behemoth and izonis min hakarka is called gedulei karka, and that's Rashi Shita, and the Rambam as well. And why is that so? Because the Torah was mar betoldos. Says the Igle Tal, what is a toldo? This is fascinating. He says that there are two parts to every malacha. There's the poel and the nifal. The pa'ula and the accomplishment of the pa'ula. And he says that the concept of toldos, which is derived from a ribui hakra, from the pasuk me'achas mehena, that ribui tells me that if you have a dimyon to the av, if there's a certain striking similarity to the av malacha, whether it be in the poel, meaning the pa'ula, or in the nifal, then you can derive a tolda. That allows me to go beyond the limited, restricted definition of gedulei karka. Why? Because ain't nothing out me as far as the nifal is concerned. In other words, that which was impacted by the malacha, that heftza is gedulei karka mamish. And then we'd have to take the strict, limited definition of gedulei karka. But we can go back to the pa'ula. And a pa'ul of mafarek is when you separate one thing from the other. You break that chibur between one thing and the other. That's the pa'ul. Says the Igle Tal, you can do that pa'ul in many different ways, in many different forms. And in the case of cholev, you're being mafarek, you're separating the cholev from the dad, from the others. And that itself is enough of a dimyon in the poel, such that even though in the nifal there's no dimyon, because the nifal is behema, which is not gedulei karka, nevertheless it can be derived as a tolda. Now, the Igle Tal tells us something fascinating, based on a Tosis in Bechoros. And if we had the time, we would go through this Tosin Bechoros very carefully. Tosin Bechoros does a beautiful analysis, what I call a comparative analysis of Shabbos to Shari Surei Torah. Bechoros is a Masechta that by and large is dedicated to the laws of Kodshim. And in the case of Kodshim, we have what's called an Iser Avoda. We're not allowed to do Avoda with the Behemas Kodesh. So Tosis discusses what's called the Avoda of Gozes. Let's say, for example, if I have a Shepsela, a little sheep, that's Hegdesh, I'm not allowed to shear the wool off the body of the thing, that's called Gozes, Giza. That's an Avoda that's prohibited in Kodshim. Now in Shabbos, Gozes includes any kind of Akiras Dova Migidulo. So Tosis there addresses the case of what's called Dildul Ha'ubar. You know, it's to remove an ubar, a fetus, from its mother's womb. And Tosis says the following, fascinating, with this, like Tal sees this as a flagship Tosis for his thesis about Melechus Shabbos. Tosis says that Dildul Ubar is considered a Meleches Gozes as far as Shabbos is concerned, but you would not be Chayev for Giza as an Avoda in Kodshim for being Medaldul the Ubar of Behemoth Hegdesh. Frektigli Tal, why not? You're telling me that it's called Gozes as far as Meleches Shabbos is concerned, why not call it Gozes as far as the Isra Avoda in Kodshim? Ah, says the Gleital, because in Shabbos we have a ribui of tolus. And even though there's a major difference between the gozes of cutting off, shearing the wool off the animal's back, and the gozes of being medaldel uber b'mei imo, as far as the tzuras ha'pu'ula is concerned, but since there's an equation in the totsah, in the Nifal, therefore I can derive a Tolda, but in Hilchas Isurei Torah, when you're defining a Maisa Gozes, you don't have that luxury of Dimyon. There is no such thing as Dimyon. Either you do a Meleches Gozes, or you don't do a Meleches Gozes. So here we're limited to the Av of Gozes, and Dildul Ubar is not called an Av of Gozes, and therefore in Shari Suri Torah, in this case Avodah B'Kodshim, there's no Avera to be Medaldul Ubar B'mei Ima. And now Tosis quotes another case. This is fascinating. The Torah says that the Omer has to be Reishis Ktzircha, which means that before the Omer is brought on the 16th of Nisan, there's an Iser Ktsira from the Chadash. Everything is Chadash until the Omer is brought, and there's an Iser Ktsira. So Tosis wants to know, there's something called Kituf, Kuf Yud Tet Vav Pei, in which you rip out something from the ground. It's a kind of a Tlisha B'yada. And Tosis says that here there'll be a fundamental difference between Melechus Shabbos, where there's a Melacha called Ktsira, and the Iser Ktsira of the Omer. As far as Shabbos is concerned, Tosis says that Kituf is a Tolda of Melechus Kotzer, insofar as it's Oker Domer Migidua. So even though in terms of the Tzuras HaPa'ula it's very different than Ktsira, where Ktsira you take a sickle and you harvest something, you cut it down, here what you're doing is you're ripping it out of the ground. But since at the end of the day, as far as the Nifal is concerned, you're left with something that was removed from Makom Gidulo, therefore it's a Tolda. But in Reishis Ktsirachem, where the Torah prohibits Ktsira before the Omer is brought, only the Ktsira Mamish is considered prohibited. And if he does a Ktsira Bedera Kituf, that's not Chayim, because there's no concept of Toldos in Shari Suri Torah. So the Torah allows us in Shabbos to go with what we call Dimyon. And through that process of Dimyon, which we discussed many occasions, especially when we were learning the the Avnei Neis, not the Avnei Neis, the Rosh Shiva from Yerushalayim, the Evan Ozel, if you remember, which with regard to Lechus Bona, I don't know if you remember, that was the first shiurim that we had in this perek. So there we discussed the concept of Dimyon. Now the Igli Tal does a great service for us. You know, he breaks down Melechus Shabbos into the Poel and the Nifal. But the truth be told, it's very complicated. I call it the sticky the ambiguous twilight zone, the Bein HaShmoshes of Avos and Tolda. So, you know, what, you know, in every case of a Tolda, if you want to establish a derived Tolda, you have to tell me what similarities does the Tolda have to the Av, and to what extent, in, you know, in what dimensions is it not similar to the Av? And then you have to decide for yourself what's critical about the Av. For example, in the case of Ma'amer, we said that Ein Imur Ela Bigdulei Karka. But in the case of Rashi, with regard to Melechas Disha, and Rashi says that Cholev is Chayev Mishum Mafarik as a told of Dash, even though, again, according to the Glital in Rashi, Behema is not considered Gedulei Karka, but you're chayev under the law of Toldo. So in Melechas Dash, you're willing to say that I want to expand my definition of Melechas Disha to include something that's not Gedulei Karka, and that's because of the similarity in the Pa'ula. And you're willing to say that Gedulei Karka is not a critical, is not a critical component that defines Melechas Disha. But in every case, you know, what are the rules and regulations that govern? You know, what, give me a guidebook. How to derive a tolda from an av? At what point do you tell me ad kan? You know, now your tolda is so dissimilar from the av, it's missing a critical element, a mahuti element, that therefore can't be considered a tolda. So if you tell me he did disha at night, and in the Mishkan they did Disha by day, you know, so I would admit that the Laila and Yom is not going to be a critical component in Melechas Disha. But when you get to the case of Cholev, and you're telling me, well, it's similar because I removed the milk from the dad, you know, I don't know, is that enough of a similarity to
taking
say that they're...
Taking books out of an knapsack. Well, Disha.
It's going to be, you know what I'm saying, there's a twilight zone here that's very sticky. I don't know, you know, the guidelines are very vague, you know.
I don't see the of Cholev being under Dash or under Mafarik.
I guess you have to know a little bit more about milk. No, I don't know. Maybe where is the milk? Is it?
It's in the Dash. You're saying. I understand that.
Is it in a sack or?
Mafarik and Dash are connected to each. I mean, are the objects are connected to each other, and I want to separate them.
Right,
but.
Milk is in a pouch,
milk,
like
that's
you
right.
said.
It's not connected. Right. Can I pour water from a pitcher?
Right, right. It's not connection. It's but not. It's not.
But Rashi says that Rashi doesn't say. Rashi says in Daf Zadi Hamad, he brings down a there that says that they want to say that Mefarik is a tolad of Kotzer. He's docha that because he says Kotzer is mamash mechubar, and then you're trying to take something out.
So it can't be Kotzer.
No. So he says, but here Dash is dafka when it's not mechub. So Mefarik is when it's not really mechubar, but there's something that's surrounding it that makes it. Sort of together, but it's not connected. So the
Dash is not connected.
So he's saying it's not really connected. He says just like
the two entities that just like have some sort
when
of.
When you have Dash, you have the kernel and the thing that surrounds it. It's not completely connected. It's sort of surrounding it, and there's that relationship between the two of them, but it's not the same as the connection between the stalk and the ground. That there you have a real connection. That's the chiluk that Rashi wants to say. That's not.
All right. Excellent. So we're going to have to deal with this issue.
So can you pour water from a pitcher?
That's maybe that is too disconnected to say that that's.
Right. So that's why I say it's, you know, where do you draw the line? For example, the Rishonim who say that taking dam out of Besulin in the Sugin in Subis is considered Mafarik, according to some Shitas. Why? Because the Gemara uses the term chibure mechbere, that there's a real connection between the dam and the blood, you know, and the vessels of the body. But sometimes you have something called a sack. You have something that's inside a sack that's called mithka pakid. You remember that Gemara?
Yeah.
Enough. Where is it? Hey, it is. And there, what you're saying is, I'm just slicing something open, and that which is inside comes out.
Right.
So that's not called mafarik.
It says, "Porik ochel mimakom shenit kasaba." So it would have to be surrounded. So the pitcher, water, the
right.
pitcher wouldn't.
But yet, in the case of Dam Masul, the Gemara says it's Dam Mifkid pocket, even though it's surrounded. It's not considered mafarik. It's very difficult. So I'm just pointing out that on the one hand, I think in my humble opinion, we all owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to the Igletal, not just because he parenthesis this Rashi, but also because he's breaking open the whole sugya of Melechus Shabbos. And he's showing you that Shabbos, in contrast to Shari Surei Torah, has a concept of Dimyon, of Toldus. And that gives us, in a similar sense to what Tosfos says about Behema in Kesef Maaser Sheni, the expanded Klal Pratu Klal. Here too we have this expansionary factor, which is called Toldus. But in the Lemaisa, you know, in every single one of the 39 Malachas, and you can derive Toldus from each one of them, it's going to be very difficult to figure out exactly what defines the Malacha, such that the Tolda has that similarity, that element or that variable of the
It has a status.
Okay.
It has a status.
Right. Of an A. Of a Tolda of an A. Okay, fine. So again, according to Gital, what it comes out is the following, according to Rashi, that Cholev, although in the Heftza, is radically different than classical Disha or Mefarik, because Mefarik means Mefarik as a garin mitocha klipa. You know, here he's being Mefarik the Cholev minapara, but exactly why that's mitocha klipa, that's a little bit of a jump. But then the bottom line is that, according to Rashi, the way the Iglital understands it, we can expand our definition of Meleches Disha through the operative modus of what? Of Tol. Okay, that's number one. Okay. Now, as you all know, the Iglital, the Sokachava Rebbe, authored a different work besides the Iglital. And that's called the Avnei Nezer. And in the Tshuva in the Avnei Nezer, he tries to defend Rashi without mentioning his Iglital in a whole new way, a whole new approach. So this is what I call, you know, a fertile mind, that, you know, very creative and without even a footnote, you know, neither of the two Sfarim, you know, send you to the other Sefer. So let's try to get the basics of the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer says the following, that if you want to determine in any particular context whether or not you're dealing with Gedulei Karka, then you have to separate between the action, no, I'm sorry, scratch that, between the object that's being removed, notice the object that you're taking, and the object from which you're removing that which you're taking. So for example, when we talk about cholev, you can talk about two different objects. You can talk about the udders, the cow itself, and you can talk about the milk. The milk is that which you're taking, and the udders is the object, the makar, the sauce, or if you will, the heftza from which you're taking the milk. Comes along the Iglital, the Avnei Nezer, again, same author, but the Avnei Nezer, and he says the following. That with regard to the sugya in Erevin of Maaser Sheni, of Lekichas Behema Bekesef Maaser Sheni, clearly the Behema is that which you're taking. And the Gemara says, based on the Klal Pratu Klal, that the Behema is considered Gidulei Karka because it's the Zonas Minakarka. Now let's jump forward to the case of Achilles Poel, the sugya in Bab Metzia. There, the critical issue is not the object from which you take it, the makar, the heftza, but rather the object which the Poel wants to take for himself, the one which he wants to eat. In that case, which object are we going to focus our attention on? What does the Poel want to eat? Actually, the word eat is a little bit inappropriate. Drink.
Milk.
The milk, the cholov. Says the Avnei Nezer, cholov is the shine Gidule Gidule Karka. It's one step removed. You're too far away in the Chagadya. And therefore he says that Kuli Amalo plea that the Cholov itself is not Gidule Karka. To say to me that since the Cholov comes, it's produced by the Parah, and the Parah itself is Nizonis Minakarka, Adkan. That's already pushing the envelope too far. So let's again understand it. If you're asking me about the Behema itself, the Behema itself is Geduli Karka, and Horaya, the Gemara says in Erevin that you could purchase Behema with Kesef Maisa Shein. Even though Kesef Maisa Shein requires Geduli Karka, Behema is considered Geduli Karka insofar as the Zonis Minakarka. But in the Sugya in Bab Metzia, where you're dealing with Achilles Poel, and the Poel wants to eat the milk, or drink the milk, there, you're not dealing with Geduli Karka, because you're dealing with the Heftz of the Cholov. The Cholov itself is not the Behema. The Cholov is Gidule HaBehema. And the Behema itself is Gidule Karka. So you talk about Gidule and Shel Gidule. Comes along the Avnei Nezer and he says the following. That in the case of Mefarik and Cholev as a told of Mefarik, the Melacha is defined not by that which you're taking, but by the makar. That's the word he uses. I use a different terminology. It means the object on which, from which you are taking the chalav, namely on the behemah itself. So therefore, if the mafarik is being done on the behemah, like let's say for example, again I'm just using this l'saber to ozen, don't quote me on this, I'll get in deep trouble, but let's say you had tamarim or whatever your fruits are, or grains that are covered by a klipa. So you take off the klipa, but the malacha al pidin is being done on the chita itself, on the pri itself, on the tamar. The tamar has now been freed, so to speak, of the klipa that you removed. That's called malechas mefarik. In the case of cholev, the chefta, he says, is the behema itself. The cholev removes the chalav from the dad. The dad is now free of its chalav. You want to say it balabatis, you would say that the animal has to, you know, if the animal, I don't know if it'll die or whatever, if it doesn't get the chalav removed, right? That's called sar bali chayim. Some of the farmers, the kibbutznikim, rely on sar bali chayim for all sorts of terim for setting up machines before Shabbos. I'm not going into the question of how they circumvent the law of chaliva as a melecha Shabbos. But says the Avnei Nezer, the melacha is being done not on the chalav, which is being removed, but rather on the behema from which the chalav is being removed. And therefore, says the Avnei Nezer, since the behema itself is Gidule Karka, because it grows from the food that grows on the Karka, that makes it into what? That makes it into a chiyuv of cholev mishum afarik, according to Rashi, as it told of melechas dash. Just like in the case of purchasing a behema, here also you're doing a malacha on a behema, purchasing behema with ma'isa sheni. Masha'en came the case of achilus poel, that's the exception, because there, the question is, what is the poel trying to gain or possess for himself? And the answer is, he's trying to possess the cholev, that's what he wants to drink. And the cholev itself, he says, is gidule, gidule. Now, I just would like, if somebody could, again, I should always bring in all the svarim before the shiur. The trouble is, I'm too busy preparing the shiur. So that on the Maram Komos list, if I find that list, we have a Rambam in Hilchas Maisros. Where is this? Just one second, it's not on the list. Did I mess up?
It's Becharis.
Alright. So I forgot to write this Rambam down. Oh, here it is. Rambam Perek Zayin Alochadal. That's Sefer Zeroyim, if you can get it. Anyway, I'll try to fill in the moment that Yonatan, until he comes back with the Rambam, with the following statement. That let's analyze the following question. Thank you. Can I take Kesef Maaser Sheni? I did the pidyon on my Maaser Sheni. I brought the Kesef to Yerushalayim. And now I want to buy milk. Again, for most of us here, I guess that would be cow's milk, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm the exception to the rule. It's goat's milk, but it doesn't matter. It's milk. And the question is, can I use kesef maisu sheni to purchase and drink milk? So the Rambam addresses this question in Hilchos Maisu Sheni, Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalet. Does anybody want to guess what the Rambam is going to say? That's going to allow me to say a shiur?
Yes.
He says yes.
And that goes against what we've just
correct, because the Avnei Nezer holds that Cholov is not Gidulei Karka, but Gidulei Karka. And the Rambam says in Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalet, which I should have right here in front of me, that he can buy Cholov. He's not allowed to buy, by the way, Melech. He can't buy salt. He has a whole discussion here about pitriot, which are grow from water. But cholov, he's allowed to buy. Hadvash v'cholov. Okay, dvash is a sugya unto itself. Is harei hein kibokar v'tzon. The afal pi, the Rambam asks the kasha, einom gidule karka. Cholov is not gidule karka. V'hem gidule gidulel. And yet the Rambam says that's enough. According to the Avnei Nezer, the whole reason why Cholev, in the case of Achilas Paul, is not allowed to drink the milk is because it's not considered Gedulei Karka. And if that be the case, if Cholev is not Gedulei Karka, it's Gedulei Gedulim, why is it that the Rambam allows the Maisa Sheni money? Again, Maisa Sheni requires Gedulei Karka. Hello, what we said, we could expand Gedulei Karka in the case of Maisa Sheni to include behemoths. That's fine. So we have an expanded definition of Gedulei Karka. Okay, I'm going to grant you that behemoths, Gedulei Karka, you can purchase behemoth shechted and have a barbecue with Maisa Sheni money. But what about Cholov? That should be Gedulei Gedulim, according to the Avnei Nezer. Okay.
But the Rambam agrees with that premise.
Correct.
The question isn't on the Hakir of the Avnei Nezer. The Rambam will tell you there's a difference in the Maser Sheni Hagdara than there is.
Right, no, but just why am I bothered? Because the Maser Sheni, because the Avnei Nezer presumes, without even questioning, that the Geder of Maser Sheni, just like Tosus assumes, of Gedulei Karka, is going to set up the standards for how I define Gedulei Karka. We're going to use this sugya Maisa Sheni as our paradigm of Gedulei Karka. And therefore we're going to differentiate between this sugya and the sugya of Achilas Poel, because Cholov is not Gedulei Karka. The Rambam has a right to say, which he does so based on all the different sources that he has, that Maisa Sheni has its own new category. But the Avnei Nezer is not assuming. He's assuming, like Tosus, and like Rashi in many places, that Maisa Sheni requires Gedulei Karka Mamish. Okay. Well, Bosai. Very nice Chiddush of the Avnei Nezer. But from where we come from, you got to bring a Raya. It's too big of a Chiddush. How does the Avnei Nezer know that in Meleches Shabbos, in the case of Dash, the Melech is defined not by what you take through the process of mafarik, of being mafarik, but rather what you don't take. In other words, that from which you take it. And here, Abosai, I don't know what to tell you. I get very emotional. I get chills from this, but he has a brilliant, brilliant proof for his conclusion. This is a sugya in Masechet Shabbos with regard to Yoledes, Kuf Chaf Gimel Amid Beis. Okay, I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, just to save time, if somebody could volunteer just to get the sugya Kuf Chaf Ches Amid Beis. Kuf Chaf Gimel Amid Beis. Sorry. Okay, you'll find this on your Mar Makomo sheet number Vav. Okay. Now, a Yoledes is considered what? See if you can find the line that we need, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, if you don't mind. Okay? So Yoledes is considered what in Halacha? Pikuach Nefesh, correct? So the Gemara says, look, whatever is absolutely necessary for the health and the well-being of the Yoledes will violate the Shabbos. But if you could minimize your Chil Shabbos, that's what we prefer that you do. This has to do with sugyas about Hutra and Dechuya. That's not for us today. Pikuach Nefesh is a wonderful sugya for Masechta Shabbos. And the Gemara says the following. that it's quite common that a yoledes needs shemen, she needs oil for her body. And the oil in this particular case is in a different rishus. In order to carry it from that rishus to this rishus, you would have to violate Meleches Havaras Dalanamis Rishus Arabim, or possibly Hotzah Mirishus Lishus. So the Gemara suggests the following: we're going to have to violate the Shabbos on her behalf. She needs Shemen, we have to obtain the Shemen. But we have a method of obviating, circumventing the violation of Meleches Hotzah, and therefore minimizing the damage, and that's what we're going to be recommend. How so? You send a woman to go ahead and soak her hair in shemen. She walks back with shemen in her hair to the Oledes, and she squeezes the shemen out of her hair. In that case, because the shemen is absorbed in her hair, there's no violation of Meleches Hotzah. And that itself is a tzarech iyun, how that works, why it's not called a masor. So the Gemara says, but that's not so simple, okay? What you did is, you substituted one malacha for another. Because what you'd have to do is malacha schita. And schita is a told of dash. By the way, there's a famous vart from the Chabina Rav. I don't know if you know this, the Chabina Rav, the original, and the yeshiva is named after him, right near Ezra's Torah. Yeah, I think it's called Shikun Chabad technically, but right on the Knesset Ezra's Torah, the Chabina Rav, Kochav Yaakov, was in the Shoah. He didn't have any Sfarim. And it's mind-boggling because he ran away from one country to another and he was always underground. He didn't have access to Sfarim. And he wrote totally out of memory. And it's mind-boggling because his sefer is full of quotes that are exact and precise. I'll tell you another story about Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, who was in Shanghai, you know, during the war in Japan. And he, for the yeshiva of Mir, which had, I think, 400 students, if I'm not mistaken, that all were saved from the Shoah, he wrote the Shev Shmaitita from cover to cover by heart. And his nephew, who's a Rosh Yeshiva in Lander College, that's where I taught for 2 years, has the writings of his uncle, Rav Chaim Shulevitz, the entire Shem Shmaitita. I personally, if I was rich, I would pay probably about $250,000 just to have that copy. Anyway, that's like going off on a tangent. So the Chabina Rav says the following: if you want to limit and reduce Chil Shabbos, and you have two choices in front of you, you have an Av and a Toldah. Which one of the two should you choose? Everyone here should be yelling and screaming the Toldah. Says the Chabina Rav, it's wrong. There's no difference between an Av and a Toldah. And his proof is from the fact that the Gemara wanted to suggest that you should violate Meleches Schita. So the Gemara says, well, what are you going to gain by that? Instead of Otzah, you're going to violate Schita. Fact that you're being a rav, you gain a great deal, because if you carry the shemen, that's called an av malacha hotza. But if you carry it in your hair and then you do schita, that schita is only a told of maleches dash, and therefore the Gemara has no question over here. It's okay, fine, you violate the maleches schita, but at least in the worst case scenario, that's a told. Says that you're being a rav, there's no difference between an av and a told. Oh, so the Gemara asks, "V'ka'av al schita." Right? What's lashon hashas?
So you did mean kuf chacherem at that.
No,
it's not chaf gimel. So I think you write this on the bottom.
What did I write here?
Typically, mishum schita.
When it gets that late in Shabbos,
it's kuf chacher.
Okay.
It's typically mishum
schita.
Rabbi Yosef damat Ravayu en schita b'se'ar.
Okay, that's all I need. So Rabbi and Rav Yosef together come up with the following thesis, that there's no schita b'se'ar. Okay, now why there's no schita in se'ar is a long discussion, but many Rishonim say that ain't schita b'se'ar because se'ar is not kidule karka.
That's the only reason.
Again, there are different explanations as to why there's no schita in se'ar. But one of them, well, I think Rashi says it there,
He says, shehu kasher ve'in bolea.
Oh, okay, so that's Rashi's shita. But the other Rishonim, I don't remember exactly whom, that the Abdinezer quotes, they hold that ain't schita b'seir because ain't disha, because schita is a told of dash, vi ain't disha ella b'gdule karp. Oh, I'm sorry. So I didn't mention which of the Rishonim that the Abdinezer quotes. He quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Where is Rabbeinu Tam? In Sefer Yosher. I remember my Rebbe Zichron Lebracha used to quote the Sefer Yosher whenever he had an opportunity to, because a lot of brilliant Chidush of Rabbeinu Tam, which you don't know from the Shas Bavli, because they only appear in his Sefer Yosher. So this is one of those cases. The Sefer Yosher, Rabbeinu Tam, asks the following question. What does the Gemara mean here when it says Ein Schita B'Seyar? Says Rabbeinu Tam, because it's only called, it's because Ein Schita, as it told of Dash, Ela B'Gdule Karka, and it's not Gdule Karka. But that's how Rabbeinu Tam understood the Gemara of Rabba and Rav Yosef. Frech the Avnei Nezer, I don't get it. What does Rabbeinu Tam mean that it's not Gidule Karka? Shemen is derived from what? From Azayas. Azayas is Gidule Karka. What does Rabbeinu Tam mean? What kind of chutzpah does Rabbeinu Tam have to assume the premise that this is a case of Ein Disha Ela Gidule Karka, and therefore Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore Rabbi Rav Yosef says that they say together that there's no violation of Meleches Schit as it told of Dash because it's not Gidule Karka? Okay, Seir is not Gidule Karka, but Zayas is Gidule Karka, the Shemen is Gidule Karka. Zokti Avdinezer, Mikan Raya, that in Meleches Mefarek, we don't look at the object that you're taking, in this case the Shemen, but rather we look at the Chefza from which you're taking the object. And the Chefza from which you're taking the object is the body of a woman, the Seir of a woman, which is not called Gedule Karka. Okay, there's a lot to discuss here, but I just wanted to make sure that we have that chiddush of the Avdei. Okay. Now we have a sugya that I think could present a serious problem for the Avnei Nesef. So I'm going to just borrow this Gemara here for a minute. So you'll make that correction on the Mar Makomas page that it's not Kuf Chav Gimel but Kuf Chav Ches. Okay. Now let's hope this one I got right. Kuf Mem Het. This is a Sugya of Shlokos. Let's see if I got it. Mamish at the end of Masechta Shabbos. Yeah, here it is. So shlokos is basically any sort of a vegetable that is saturated with liquid. And the question is, are you allowed to do schita in order to remove the juices that are absorbed in the kvashim, in the vegetables? And there are various different cases in which you have vegetables that are pickled or that are just soaking in liquids and they absorb the liquid. It could be it was cooked and therefore it's full of liquids. You don't want the liquids. So the Gemara says that schita is asur in this case. Why? So the Gemara says the following. That Lemeimeim, he wants to remove the juice from the vegetable, make a soup out of it. So the Gemara quotes Rav, and then Rav Yochanan. Rav says, Potur Aval Osur. Potur Aval Osur means that he violates an Isur Durabonon. Okay, he violates an Isur Durabonon. Rav Yochanan Omar, if it's Lemeimeim, Chayav Chatos. If he needs the mayim, if he needs the liquid that's absorbed in the shlokos, then he's chayav echatos. It seems that we paskin like Rav in this case. It's only an isur d'rabbanan against Rabbi Yochanan. But let's focus for a moment on the shita of Rav. Rav says the following. that his kavana is for the mind, correct?
Yeah. All right.
So since his kavana is for the mind, therefore he's not chayv for schita. Now wait a second. According to the Avnei Nezer, schita is being done on what? Not the object that you remove, but on the object from which you remove it. So is this a proof to the Avnei Nezer or a kash on the Avnei Nezer? Let's think about it. Again, he's squeezing the juices out of the shlokos, and his purpose is to get the juices out. And Rav says that he's not chayv. But wait a second, according to the Avnei Nezer, every case of a farik, we're not interested in looking at what?
At the
totseret, but rather at the makar. So if we're not looking at the totseret, we're looking at the makar, then his malach is being done on the shlokos themselves. So why shouldn't he be chayev for that? Rabbi Yochanan is right. Rabbi Yochanan says he's chayev because the malach is being done on the shlokos.
Yet,
I meant to say Rabbi Yochanan. Who did I say? Did I get it mixed up with the name? Yeah, so Rabbi Yochanan says you're chayev, but what I want to understand is Rav Shita. Why does Rav say you're potter? Why? Because the malach is being done on the mayim. Well, that's not true. According to the Avnei Nezer, the malach of mafarik means when I separate a liquid from a solid, right, I remove the liquid from the solid, my malach is being done on what? Not on the liquid that I'm taking, but on the solid that I am improving, because now it's free of its liquid. Let me just go over it one more time, Rabbi. No, just give me a minute to get the mathematics. In the case of Seir, right? So the malacha of Schita, says the Avnei Nezer, is being done not on the shemen that you remove, but on the Seir from which you remove the shemen. In the case of Cholev, the malacha is not being done on the Cholev, but rather on the dad, on the para from which you remove it. No, in the case of removing mayim from the shlokos, according to the Avnei's definition, my malach is not being done on the mayim, it's being done on the shlokos. So why should I be chayim for that? You know, what does Rav mean that since it's l'meimeim, and the cheftu yom malach is the mayim, that's not called Meleches Schita, as it told of Da. So according to the Avnei Nezer, by definition, every case of Mefarek, and this is true in Kolatar Kula, for example, we're going to look at it in every single case, and we're going to say that the Melech is being done, the Mefarek is being done on the object from which you're taking it out. So, Rabbi, you wanted to slug me up, I also want to slug it up, because I think that maybe what the Gemara means is that we have a problem of malach shen and tzricha legufa. What do I mean? That Enochinami, Rav is not denying that the malach is being done on the shlokos, but the question is, does he need the shlokos? And Rav is saying that since he wants to make a soup out of this water that was absorbed or cooked in the shlokos, therefore he's not interested in the shlokos. I'm looking for a mashal. I don't know, in the case of pickles, does anybody here eat pickle juice? I think my father used to have. You like pickle juice? I think my father used to love pickle juice. So imagine my father couldn't care less about the pickles. He just wants to get the juice out of the pickles. So on the one hand, when he squeezes the pickles, he's doing a malach on the pickle, according to the Avnei Nezer. But on the other hand, he has no need for the pickle, so it becomes a malach shein tzricha legufa. I'm just throwing out a svara over here. All right. Now I want to talk to you about another dimension of this Avnei Nezer that I think may be relevant. Okay. We have what's called a bracha me'ein shalosh. Okay? Again, I might have to trouble you for a Rambam, but this time, you're doing a lot of mitzvahs for me. He always does mitzvahs for me, but if you get me Hilchos Brachos, that's the volume that's called Ahava. Okay? So what I'd like to think about with you together is, what's the status of juices that are removed from Peros? Thank you so much. So let's see if I can find this in the Rambam. How are we doing on the clock, by the way? We have a few minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So there's one line in this Rambam that I want to focus on, but I'm going to read the whole longer spiel here in the Rambam, if we have more, since we have a little bit more time. Bracha achas shemein sholosh. So this is the bracha which, I don't know, somehow when I was a child we used to call it Perkes halacha yudal. You see it's number 10 on your page. We used to call it alamichya. I don't know. Yeah. That's really not the name. It's called the bracha main sholosh. He says on chameshes mine peros. Okay. He says alayayin. Al mine dogon, and he goes on to tell you al peros omer al eitz ve al priya eitz ve al tenuvas asada etc. al yain omer al gefen ve al priya gefen.
Gafna.
Oh, that's the line that I want to get to. How many times in this Rambam does the Rambam mention gafna? If it's Eretz Yisrael, zero. He doesn't mention it at all. How many times does the Rambam mention michyasa? If let's say you eat a cookie that comes from grains of Eretz Yisrael. Not once. It's really fascinating. All this, which is mostly Sephardic minhagim, does not reflect the Rambam. The Rambam says that only in the case of peros, im hoya bi Eretz Yisrael, Chosein bohem ala oretz v'al peroseha. So the Birchei Yosef, who's the Chidah, says that the minog evolved that since we make this bracha on Geffen, and therefore we should recite pre Gafna, and that's the custom that he says if it's yayin from Eretz Yisrael, and therefore if you eat any mizonos from Eretz Yisrael from the five grains. If it's coming from Eretz Yisrael, you say Al Michyasa. We have in my house a placard with the nusach of Brach Mein Sholosh, and I realized after years and years of using this placard that this was a nusach of the Sfaradim. I didn't realize it because it says on the bottom Al Michyasa, Val Pri Gafna. I think in the Ashkenazim it already began to seep into the Ashkenazim.
Not with Yisrael, but
Pri Gafna. So you'll find it in Benchrolls.
Yes.
It's not in the Rambam. It comes from the Sfaradim. The Rambam has, and that's the Ashkenazic original tradition, only in the case of Peros. Al Perosel. Okay. So Fekti Or Sameach, why is it that when it comes to Peros, we have to mention Eretz Yisrael, but when it comes to grains, when it comes to Yayin, again, in the strict reading of the Rambam, we don't have to mention Eretz Yisrael. So he says the following. I'll read to you his language. I have it here. If I can find it. Oh. He says the following. In the case of peros, he says, Ikar habracha nitkina ala pri. But in the case of chita, the bracha is not on the grains, but rather on the produce that is manufactured from the grains. Meaning we take the grains and we make it into a flour, and then we bake it as bread, or we bake it as cookies. So if you bake it as bread, you make hamotzi min haaretz. That's not relevant to us, because then you require berkas hamotzi. But if you make it into cookies, you'll make the bracha ala michya, ala kalkola, whatever bracha you have. But he says that the peros lo nishtanu. In the case of fruits, we have the original fruit. In the case of chita, you could eat the chita. Does anybody remember what that's called? Chita. But what bracha do you make in that case?
Adama.
Adama. So you don't make it ala michya. So the only time you're going to make an Alam Mith, your Bracha Mein Sheva, is if you convert the Chita into a flour and then bake it as a cookie. Meaning, Mizonas Nishtanu Kvar, the Loro Im Es HaChita. We no longer see the Chita. And therefore, Ein Kvar Shvachli Eretz Yisrael Lomar Al Mith Yasa. The same thing in the case of Yayin, we no longer see the pre. The bracha has already changed, it became Bori Pri Agofen. So the bracha itself, Bracha Rishona, is on something that's not the pre. And we make a bracha l'shabech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the peros, Shenishtavchu Ben Eretz Yisrael. There's no longer peros over here. It's very interesting because, you know, it comes out that even though you're benefiting from the Shivas Aminim, right, in the case of Anovim, you're Yayin, you're benefiting from the Anovim. In the case of eating a cookie, you're benefiting from the five species of grains. And therefore, you should be Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eretz Yisrael. No, he says, only when you see the original. So in the case of Peros, you're seeing the original. But in the case of cookies and wine, you're not seeing the original. And therefore you don't make a brach l'shabach es HaKadosh Baruch. Okay, so that's the Orsameh. Okay. So let's just think for a moment what we could do with this discussion, and maybe we could begin to understand what's going on. Just by the way, I want to point out that there are five species of grains, but there's a difference in halacha between chita and siora and the other three species of grains. So it's very interesting because when we talk about perish and ishtabchu ben eretz Yisrael, we're really talking about chita and siora. When like for example, I eat a lot of spelt, which is called kusmin, and kusmin is not one of the perish and ishtabchu ben eretz Yisrael. So I'm not sure. It could be that because three out of five of the species of grains are not perish and ishtabchu, therefore we don't. Our meaning is not to say mechiyasa. It's kind of like a low plug, you know. As we look at the rov and not the meat. Okay. But now I want to share with you the chsam sofer. Okay. This Chsam Sofer is here on our suit. And he says the following. Yesh li yashiv. Okay. Again, let's go over the kasha. Tosis says that there's a stira here lechora between the sugya in Erevin as far as buying behemoths for my sushen, with my sushani money, and the sugya of mitziyavot of achilas poel, where cholev has no rights to achilas poel because behemoth is not kidulei karka. Says the Chsam Sofer, Yesh li yashiv. Behema nechsheves l'gdulei karka. Okay. Hacholov min ha-behema, gam hu nidon k'gdulei karka. This is against the Avnei Nezer. Okay, they were more or less contemporaries. The Chsam Sofer was a little bit earlier, but he says the following. Aval acholov liatzmo liachar shepiresh mikan eino gduli karka. Whoa. He's saying the following. You start with the cholov that's in the behema. Now you're removing the cholov from the behema. That's called gduli karka. Why? Because the cholov is in the behema and you're doing an action on the behemoth to remove its cholov. But once the cholov is separated from the animal, and now it's a separate entity, it's no longer called gedilei karka. Mishum hachi, Hapoel, this is the language of the Ksam Sofer. Hapoel eno ochel micholov mishum she'en lepoel el cholov li'acha she'nifresh. This is what he calls hacholov li'atzmo. U'b'shabes hacholev hu cholev es hacholev mina behema v'en hacholov kishel li'atzmo. So again, in the case of poel, it's cholov kishel li'atzmo. In the case of lecha Shabbos, it's not cholov kishel li'atzmo. So therefore, in the case of Disha, you're separating two objects, right? Disha is always separating one object from the other. So you have the two objects. Your action is considered hafrada, separating these two connected entities. So in the case of Cholev, your action is being done on both the Behemah and the Cholev. And since your action is being done on the Behemah itself, even though what you're doing is you're removing cholov from the behemah, but it doesn't matter, you're separating the cholov from the behemah, that's called gedulei karka. In the case of the poel, it's true that he started with cholov in the behemah, but now when he sits down to eat his meal and he wants to know, does he have schus mamon to drink the milk, that cholov is ksholi atzmo. It's a separate entity. Let's go back to the Yor Sameach for a second. Remember the Yor Sameach says that the reason why I make a Shemach to Eretz Yisrael on Peros, but not on Mizonos and not on Geffen, is because in the case of the Peros, I have the original Peros. But in the case of Mizonos, what have I done? I've taken the Peros Shenishtavchu ben Eretz Yisrael, I took the Chita and I made it into Kemach. Now I'm sitting down to eat my cookie that's made of Kemach. That cookie is no longer the original peri. So the Ksav Sofer says the following: just like in the case where you've removed an object that was nishtavcha ben Eretz Yisrael by creating another object, and therefore you can no longer be mishabeach Eretz Yisrael, so too says the Ksav Sofer, getting us to the Yosemach, that in the case of the poel who's drinking the milk has already been removed from the behemah. When you're in the process of taking the cholov from the behemah, then you're doing a malacha in the behemah. The behemah has the status of dulei karka. But since the Ksav Sofer, I always have to go back to the behemah in order to establish a dulei karka. In the case of Achilus Poel, I already have a new entity. And that new entity is what? Is cholov ksholi atzmo. That's the language of the Ksav Sofer. Cholov ksholi atzmo. Says the Ksav Sofer, in such a case, he's not dealing with gedulei karka. So again, the para itself is gedulei karka, according to Ksav Sofer. That's not an issue. The cholov being taken out of the behemah is also meleches disha in gedulei karka. But the cholov ksholi atzmo, that's not gedulei karka.
Okay. But that's in a way, it sounds at least very similar to the Egley talk, because essentially what he's saying is that you look at where the pu'ula is being, on what the pu'ula is being done. I mean, the pu'ula is being done here on the cow. And the cow, it's
he's saying on both the cholov and the cow. You're so separating one from the other.
Once you separate it, it's a separate entity.
But so as long as you're separating, okay. If you're separating, it's on the gedulei karka. You see, because according to the Ksav Sofer, again, we still have the same kasha that we had before, because the Rambam says that you can take my sashedi money and buy milk with it. So I don't know, milk, even according to Ksav Sofer, is ksholi atzmo now, and therefore it doesn't have the status of gedulei karka. So that kasha remains outstanding.
He doesn't deal with that.
No, nobody deals with this. But what I do want to suggest is that the advantage of the Ksav Sofer above and beyond the Avnei Nezer is that according to the Ksav Sofer, I don't have to come up with this chiddush about the malach is being done on the object, and then we ask the kasha, well, what about the case of Seir and the case of Shlokos, where he's interested in the Mayim? I don't have to come on that. According to the Ksav Sofer, it's very smooth, it's very simple. I'm separating the olives Right, I'm separating the olive juice. So enochinami, I'm doing malach on the olive juice in the case of the kvashim. No, wait a minute. According, he's still. Just 1 second. Let me just work this out. Since it's still connected, and we're doing a ma'isa froda, so then he's mamish doing a malach on the kvashim. No, forgive scratch. I wasn't able to work it out. Okay, Rabbos, I just want to leave you with one last thought. Hatzad chiloz v'potzo. It's the Chacham say he's only chayav mishum netil s'shom. He's not chayav mishum dash. Why? Because ein disha elo v'gedulei kar. Now, wait a second. You're telling me that the chilozon is not gedulei kar. But you're telling me, again, according to almost everyone that we discussed today, with the exception of Rabbeinu Tam, that Behema is Gedulei Karka. Why? Because it's Nizonis Min HaKarka. So I mentioned a few weeks ago that the scientists have an analysis about how fish survive. Some fish are predators, and they eat other fish. Okay, fine, that's not Gedulei Karka. But most fish will survive on that which grows from the bottom of the sea.
Plankton.
What's it called?
Plankton.
Plankton. How do you pronounce it? Plankton?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So now I have to ask you the following question. What's the halakhic status of plankton? Is it someach or is it chai? It seems from the Gemara that it's not called someach. Why? Because according to all the shittas that we discussed today, a behemoth is called gedulei karka, yet a fish is called eino gedulei karka, because the fish is living off this plankton. He's not living off something that grows from the karka. It seems like plankton is not considered gedulei karka. So I found something on the internet which is pretty fascinating. I should have printed it out, but my printer's not working. That this substance called plankton is called a chai. It has life to it. Again, it's a different form of life. It's a
microorganism. Yeah.
It's a microorganism. Is doch memela, all fish are predators. What do I mean? And I'm not saying that all fish are predators, but what I mean to say is that there are no fish that are living minatzomer. Because even that which grows from the ground, so to speak, of the seabed, which feeds the fish, has a status of chai, not a status of tzomeach. It's a living creature. It's a microorganism. All right, with that I'll leave you and wish everyone a great day. So Mirz Hashem, we'll get together again on Yom Revi'i, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have a few choices for Yom Revi'i as to what Malachim we want to talk about. Believe Eder will try to we'll try to work that out. We usually start the shiur at 11:45. I have another shiur at 9:30 if you're ever available, but you're working, you said, at 9:30.
No, I'm at night. I work at night.
So you can't come to my shiur tomorrow night?
No, unfortunately not.
Wednesday night?
I work from 6:30 to 8:30. Sometimes it's 9 o'clock. Depends on my patient.
So Wednesday night I give a shiur at 8:30. Can you make it on time for that shiur?
I first leave my work at 8:30 for the night. And now I'm getting into the all afternoon.
You'll miss the punchline.
Of course I
will. Yeah. Good. Yeah, thanks. Good to see you back.
Do you give a 2 o'clock shiur?
I give a 2 o'clock shiur today. If you're available.
Alright.
Today at 2 o'clock.
My landlord wants me out within a month. So I gotta find a place as quick as possible. But he wants me to pay the month's rent. Go figure that out.
Why don't you tell him that he didn't take care of the electricity?
What?
That he didn't take care of the electricity.
There's no problem with electricity.
But what was the problem that he wasn't?
I have mold issue.
Mold happened.
And I told him about it now. And I said, oh, when I come, and I'll see what it is. And I'll take care of it. But he says, you still have to pay for electricity. He tells me, you still have to pay, when you move back, you still have to pay for electricity and water. And I'll itemize the bill for you. He tells me. So now we'll process tomorrow at 3 o'clock with the Sfarad HaKlita, one of the organizations, a branch of the Sfarad HaKlita, finding my human rights, and I can get housing money too, so I can get a nice, decent apartment and another job.
Jonathan, is there a line for the bathroom?
Yeah.
Let me just see. Sometimes I'm desperate enough, I use the ladies' room.
Taking anything for your cold, or
I've got a lot of different things going on over here.